This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
We are so happy to have you with us this afternoon. It's a beautiful, beautiful day outside, isn't it? It's cold, but it's so sunny. And when it gets to be super sunny, I just think spring. I'm ready for it. It's very nice outside. Now, the news of the day is the censure of Al Green. He got his hands slapped. 10 Democrats voted to tell Al Green, bad boy, you behaved inappropriately. And so they did levy that censure against him. The YouTube live chat poll for today, I'd be curious. This is an important question we need to be asking ourselves. Can the Democratic Party recover in time to make gains in the midterm election? Because if the midterms were tomorrow, again, citing Elon Musk's post on X, I would say 60 senators might be within the realm of possibility. That would be enormous, of course. Can you imagine if Donald Trump in the second 2 years of his second term had
a filibuster proof
majority and gains in the House? I think you'd see gains in both chambers if the election was held tomorrow for those midterms. But it's not. It's a long way away. We are just about 6.5 weeks into the first term Well, it's not the first term of Donald Trump. Into the second term of Donald Trump. We haven't done 2 months of this yet. So there is quite some time that will unfold. A lot of things will happen. Who knows what the Democrats have up their sleeves. I don't feel like anything that the Democrats are trying to pull out of their sleeves or their hat right now is sticking at all. In fact, the more they do, the worse it gets. James Carville recently said the Democrats should play dead. And I think that because there are no other options, they needed to go away for a minute. It's like, remember when, maybe you don't, Taylor Swift went away for a minute? It was before the Eras Tour. She's kind of gone away now, once again, post-Eras Tour. If you ever have somebody who's just oversaturated in the entertainment industry, they're in all the movies, they're out there everywhere, they need to go away a little bit so that when you see them again, you're like, oh yeah, you remember the good times. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. I don't know what other option the Democrats have right now, because the social media things, and I want to play them on the show, but a lot of them are more visual than they are made for the ear. But their social media gets dumber and dumber with every single attempt that I see from them. I really don't know what the Democrats can do right now, because nothing that they're talking about really even surrounds policy. It's just hate Trump and people like him, so they're losing.
Maybe it's time to do a Taylor Swift for them then. And not, no,
they should,
but
do an Eras Tour?
No, yeah, the opposite. Not play dead.
Leotards?
Not go away for a little while, but go on tour. The Democrats coming to Enterprise Center, you know, at the end of March or whatever. We announce it. We say, anybody want to go to see the Democrats in Congress at the Enterprise Center? And they would be performing, Which Side Are You On? Which Side Are You On? And then other hits. Maybe James Taylor would be there.
Sure, why not? What else is he doing? One of the things politically that I have the most recollection of in the last 15, 20 years is fight song.
Oh, yeah.
Fight.
This is our fight song.
Oh.
Take back our right song. And then there are like celebrity after celebrity and they're super feeling it. And if you're watching, you're like, I'm not feeling it. And it keeps going. Those things should be like 30 seconds. That's the most you get. You might fool people into thinking, well, that was kind of fun. That person can sing more than I thought that they could. But it's not, it sticks, but not the way you want it to. And in that case, all publicity is not good publicity. I've been thinking a lot about this because within the last 48 hours, was it when they, all the Democrats, there's like 26 Democrats who put out the same video with the same cussing.
All holding the mic.
Yeah.
The lapel mic, it's supposed to be pinned to you.
If I were John Fetterman, I'd repeat that in the exact same like setup way, but I'd get the biggest microphone I could, and I would say something very different in the script. I would change the script, but I would be like, listen, here it is. Apparently, Elon Musk put on X. He goes, I will give a Cybertruck to the person who tells me who is behind this. And Senator Cory Booker is like, I'm the one who did it. You can keep the truck. Cory Booker, there are a few times that I will tell you that Senator Cory Booker does something. I'm like, okay, maybe I don't agree with the policy, but he seems like a real, like a passionate dude. Wasn't he the mayor of Baltimore? Am I making that up?
That sounds familiar.
He seems like a guy who's super passionate. Seems a little bit more genuine than some of the others. He doesn't, but he goes all in. He's so passionate that sometimes I'm like, I'm uncomfortable right now. He apparently went to, what, Schumer or something and said something to the effect of, we're getting our arses handed to us on social media, in podcasts. We need to compete here. What did you get?
Newark, New Jersey.
Newark, New Jersey. That's right. Wrong state. He has acknowledged the fact that conservatives are choosing to listen to, no, I should put it this way, people are choosing to listen to conservative or right wing or libertarian or alternative entertainment sources that are not in line with what the Democrat Party wants. That's what people are choosing. And it makes me think about conservative talk radio, which, thank you, Rush Limbaugh, became the name in the game up until the internet really made its play and social media made its play the way it does. People listen to conservative talk radio. People did not listen to Air America. I listened to Air America for, I don't know what it was, maybe 18 months, because I used to have to board operate for the Randy Rhoads show, and Neil Bortz was on that station. He was like libertarian. What's his name? Al Franken?
That's the only name I remember from Air America.
I had to do that, and it was on a station that nobody could hear, 1190, KRFT 1190, which it doesn't exist in that capacity anymore. And I made minimum wage to board op that, and I always said to people, the only way I'd listen to Air America is if people paid me. And they paid me barely, but they did pay me to listen to it. It was so miserable to listen to that all the time. And I was listening to Air America when Barack Obama, that was when Barack Obama got elected. I was a daily Air America listener, one of them. But it's not a successful entity because people don't choose to listen to it the way they choose to listen to conservative talk radio. Fast forward, that was in 2000. I worked at that station from the May of 2006 till February of 2009. And when you fast forward almost 20 years and the internet has boomed and podcasts have boomed and social media has boomed and YouTube, like there are so many things that you can do right now. It's not ironic at all that people still choose conservative or at least non-hyper liberal outlets to give their time to. Which makes me think Senator Booker and Democrats, pay attention. Maybe it's your message. Maybe it's not the presentation. Maybe it's not your presence that is in the market. It's not that your absence is causing people to not listen to. You've tried it before. The podcast for lefties exists. The radio shows for lefties do exist. But people don't listen to them the way they listen to. And, you know, I'm peanuts compared to the large swath of people who could be on the air at any given time throughout 24 hours of the day doing live broadcast radio. I have my toe in, and I'm very grateful to have that opportunity. But you don't see people on the left having wildly successful platforms because people don't like the message. Their message is what? All I can think of is Trump hate. And, you know, this far radical version of reality that people have said for years now, we understand that people might want to live their life differently than we do, but that's not for me. And then you get smacked around until you have to surrender to it and openly confess and put the sign in your yard to remind people that you're not hateful people. Because the default, if you're left, the default when you see people is they are hateful people until they've proven, at least in that day, that they're not. And then you got to prove it again the next day and the next day. And who wants to be around that? It's so toxic. It's not hopeful. And when you compare it to the joint address speech that Trump gave 2 days ago, full of positivity and hope, real positivity and hope, like measurable bullet points. This is what we've done. This is what we're going to do. It's not a fantasy. It's not abstract. It's concrete. Maybe that's why people subscribe to a more right or right of center interest in entertainment that exists right now. Why would you want to spend extra time being miserable? Because that's the current state of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, it's fascinating because you don't hear the thoughtful debate as much. And there are things that the left does better than the right. I'm not going to say that they're not. That's why they have Hollywood, actually, because they lead with their feelings. This is a feelings-oriented platform, and they're able to write drama. They're able to do scripted things better. That's why they have Hollywood. But when it comes to debating ideas, there used to be a Democrat Party that debated ideas. I don't see that Democrat Party today. In fact, on things like tariffs, that's a very debatable topic. And you know where I see the debate happening? Completely within the right. I see people on the left screaming about it. I don't see them bringing up...
But they're screaming about Trump.
They're screaming about Trump, and this is what things might happen. Well, there's no genuine thought clashing happening, whereas you have kind of the Reagan free market side and the tariff side. Yeah, because I'm the kind of person, I think you guys are too, you would be willing to entertain those thoughts and actually engage in them because it's thoughtful debate.
When you do that, you refine your own thoughts.
Exactly.
You might find out, oh, I was really right about that.
Or I was really wrong.
Or what if we could do both? Whatever that case might be. But you have to have open-minded discussion. You have to be willing, like you're saying, to be open-minded about it as well. And that's not... It is taking place on the right. There's certainly people debating on the right. I mean, Steve Moore, who's with us most Mondays on the show, who is an economic advisor to the Trump administration, has been in the past and is again, he's not really a tariff guy. He'll always say, you know, Annie, I'm a free trade guy. He's going to say that every time we talk about tariffs. But it's a debate that is happening, just like you said, Ryan, on the right side of the aisle. And it makes it better because of that. When it's to me particularly offensive to the American people, but really it seems like it's more directed towards the Democrats, that the Democrats should be offended by it, that somehow or another, when you have, oh, we got a real problem with our social media outreach here on the Democrat side, we need to do something, we need to do better, what could we do? They take, what was it, congresswomen? Maybe senator women, I don't even know who they were. And they're like, let's make, I told you yesterday, it's the women. They put them in a Mortal Kombat fighter pose and have them like dance back and forth like they're a fighter in a game or whatever.
Or they just kind of sway.
Yeah.
They just stand there waiting for you to be chosen.
I mean, Mortal Kombat, for sure, that's something that a lot of people know, but that type of stuff happens in Fortnite and other games that where if you're like looking at who your avatar is, they're like moving
they
a little bit or whatever.
Forth,
now they also dance. I don't know if that happened in Mortal Kombat.
No, that's very much a Mortal Kombat thing.
I know it is a Mortal Kombat thing, but I'm saying it's not exclusive to Mortal Kombat. Like games, like though, if you have a fighter to choose or something like that, or a character, an avatar to create, they have motion, they have personality, and they're trying to adapt that thing. And it's just, it does not. It looks, the word is cringe. You're like, oh, I don't think that's what you're going for.
Yeah, because it looks like somebody said, oh, bob back and forth like a video game, and it looks like maybe 90% of them have never seen a video game.
It looks like, hello, fellow kids.
Yeah. The
hip.
First one.
I'm down with it.
The first woman in that video, she looks like she kind of understands, this is what a Mortal Kombat character does.
The first woman in that video was an influencer, not even a representative.
The rest of them, they don't look like they know.
And they look like they're not too sure that they should be doing it either, which is maybe why they didn't sell. I don't know. The question we're asking you today on the Annie Fry YouTube channel is, can the Democratic Party recover in time to make gains in the midterm election, yes or no? Because if you're looking at them and you think, wow, man, they're down and out, they do not get it right now, what do they got? A year and 10 months to get it straight or something like that? Maybe not quite that long, because I guess the election would be in November. Maybe 18 months to get it straight? 18 months is a lot of time in the news cycle that we're living in right now. Lots of things could happen. And if the Democrats do have time to get their act together, how are we making sure that the Republicans stay sharp? Because right now, iron is not sharpening iron, at least not between the two parties. As Ryan pointed out, the Republican Party can try to keep itself sharp. But if they get complacent because the Democrat Party didn't even show up for the fight, that's going to be a problem. And the Democrats... The Republicans need to be paying attention to what they're doing, making sure that they continue to deliver, even in the midst of a Democrat Party that doesn't seem like they're in the game at all. A lot of time before the midterms. Do you think that the Democratic Party can recover in time to make gains in the midterm election? Go onto the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote there. When we come back, Hans von Spakovsky is going to be with us. Looking forward to talking to him every week. I'm going to talk to him about this ruling that came down from the Supreme Court here recently about that $2 billion in aid that the Trump administration said, no, we're not going to pay that. And then it turns out, well, maybe they are going to pay that from the SCOTUS ruling. What does it all mean? Hans will tell us in just a minute. Don't go away.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Will Representative Green present himself to the will?
By its adoption of House Resolution 189, the House has resolved that Representative Al Green be censured, that Representative Al Green forthwith present himself in the well of the House of Representatives for the pronouncement of censure, and that Representative Al Green be censured with public reading of this resolution by the Speaker.
So there you have the censure of Al Green from his actions that he chose to participate in at the joint address to Congress. And we are going to listen to Hans von Spakovsky now tell us what he thinks about that. Hans, when we hear a censure on the House floor, what does that actually mean for Al Green? Is there actual punishment that goes along with that, or is it just like shame on you publicly?
Well, the censure itself is shame on you, but the House can also impose other punishments. And as I understand it, there's a movement afoot to strip Al Green of his sitting on any and all committees that are in the House. And let me tell you, if you're a House member and you're not allowed to sit on any committees, let me tell you, there's not much you can do other than sit in your office and twiddle your thumbs all day.
Isn't that what they did? They do that to Marjorie Taylor Greene? Didn't, or was that the Republican Party that did that to her? I remember she was basically like, fine, I'll just go campaign and talk to the people in the district. But I feel like she was not on. I think when I don't know if I remember that correctly. Do you remember?
Yeah, I don't recall. Now, keep in mind that censure is only one of the things that can be done. There have been instances in the history of the House of Representatives where they have actually expelled members. That usually is only happens when you have really serious issues such as, you know, corruption and things like that. But, you know, the Constitution makes it very clear in Article 1 that each House is the judge of the qualifications of its own members. And there have been instances, like I said, where members have been actually expelled from the House.
We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. We love your legal expertise, and the Supreme Court came down with the ruling here. It seems kind of controversial, at least in conservative circles that I'm reading reaction to it, regarding the $2 billion in funding that the Trump administration tried to pull back. Can you kind of walk us through just the basics of what that question was about and how the Supreme Court decided to rule?
Yeah, remember, one of the things that Trump ordered the State Department to do was to pause. Now that's an important word, to temporarily pause all foreign assistance payments coming out of the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID. So a group went to court. It's called the AIDS Vaccine Advocacy Coalition. And it's just a group of American businessmen and nonprofits that get foreign assistance from USAID. They went to court and claimed that the president didn't have the power to do that. He couldn't put in a temporary pause. And the judge assigned to the case, by the way, this guy's name is Amir Ali. He was a Biden appointee. And by the way, he is now. He's a U.S. citizen, but he's also a Canadian citizen because he was educated in Canada. Why they would appoint someone like that to be a U.S. district judge, I don't know. And he has expressed pretty bad anti-American sentiments before he became a judge. But anyway, he issues an order requiring the government to pay out about $2 billion that these particular organizations said they're entitled to, and they appealed that. And the Supreme Court refused to take the appeal. And the liberal justices, as you know, of course, they voted in favor of a Biden district court appointee. But unfortunately, the chief justice agreed, and so did Amy Coney Barrett. There was a dissent written by Alito, joined by Thomas, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh that is worth reading. It is scathing. The scathing. And they put it very simple. simply, does a single district court judge have the unchecked power to compel the government of the U.S. to pay out and probably lose forever $2 billion taxpayer dollars? The answer to that is an emphatic no, but a majority of this court apparently thinks otherwise. I am stunned. Those are the words of Justice Alito, and everyone should be stunned. I cannot believe, look, the Chief Justice has made bad decisions like this now on numerous occasions. And when it comes to Amy Coney Barrett, I cannot believe she went along with the Chief Justice on this. In fact, I have a feeling, you know, somebody once asked Dwight Eisenhower what was the worst mistake he made while he was president. He said, appointing Earl Warren to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I suspect right now that if somebody were to ask Donald Trump about that, what was the worst mistake he made in his first term, he would say appointing Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court.
Ooh, we're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky right now. It's kind of an answer to the question that I was going to pose to you right now. A lot of people in conservative circles are very, very up in arms about Amy Coney Barrett as a justice on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that we should be advocating, and I think that Republican conservatives do advocate for constitutionalist justices, not conservative justices, because we know how frustrating it is when you understand the politics of those who are the liberal justices, and it seems as though they always go with what the liberal political side of an issue is. Sometimes in the Constitution, they might choose to go, you know, obviously look at what is in the Constitution, and it doesn't necessarily favor the conservative side because they've erred on the side of freedom or whatever it might be. Do you feel as though Amy Coney Barrett has she adhered greatly to the Constitution? Is she weighing in with some sort of bias here politically that is causing her to disagree with some frequency with what the right thinks is the right thing to do?
I think she's just making major mistakes and major errors. And I'm just shocked, stunned, really, just same way Justice Alito is, at her naivete. I guess that's the word I would use. And her failure to act with the boldness needed. I mean, look, think about what this case is all about. Okay, whether or not you think this foreign aid money should be paid or not, paid out or not, that's not the issue. The issue is that you have a lone federal district court judge saying that he has more power to spend federal money appropriated by Congress than the president of the United States elected by almost 80 million Americans. That is so unconstitutional. It's just, like I said, stunning to me that the Chief Justice, John Roberts, would allow this to go on. And the reaction was the same. Now, look, it wasn't all bad news last week. We had the Trump administration actually had good news in another case, where they a three-judge panel of the Court of Appeals of the District of Columbia overturned a decision by another federal judge, this time an Obama judge, had told the president that he couldn't fire the head of the Office of Special Counsel, who was a Biden political appointee, and who, by the way, was interfering by telling the president that he had no power to fire other federal government employees. And again, so you have the same situation. You had a Biden political appointee at one minor federal agency saying that he has more power than the president of the United States.
Hans, this is right. I'm glad to hear the good news, because I was trying to find a silver lining in the 5-4 split on the USAID money. And tell me if I'm interpreting this right. It's not that the Supreme Court ruled against the Trump administration. It's that they simply chose to leave the lower court opinion in place, which means they technically didn't say anything about it, right?
Yeah, that's right. But what Alito said, and I think he's correct, is that this is such an outrageous abuse of power by the lower court, the district court judge in this case, the guy who's who's a dual American and Canadian citizen, that the court should have and in fact was obligated to step in and stop this abuse of power. That's what Alito and the other three justices who dissented said. And I think that he's right.
Hans, as we're watching this first, I guess, 6 weeks of the Trump administration, has the Supreme Court stepped into any of this, you know, check on powers that we're kind of watching play out? Have they stepped into anything yet?
Not on a substantive, not in a substantive way. I mean, we keep getting emergency appeals filed with the court to stop these temporary restraining orders, injunctions by these lower court judges, and they just haven't stepped in the way they should. The court has an obligation to stop the abuse of power by district court judges. Look, district court judges, they're the lowest of the federal judges in the country. And to think that they've got more power than the president of the United States and that they can order the president to pay out, for example, here in this case, $2 billion, or to tell him, you can't fight a Biden political appointee. The Supreme Court needs to step in and stop this kind of abuse. And Justice Alito showed that, they need to do it. And he is extremely disappointed that the Chief Justice and Amy Coney Barrett didn't do what they were obligated to do and to stop that kind of abuse.
Well, Hans, we appreciate you for breaking that down for us, because a lot of people are looking at that. And I think it's a head scratcher for folks who are trying to follow this. There's always nuance to it. And that's why we love your expertise. Hans, thanks for being with us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. We'll talk to you again soon. Hans von Spakovsky there with us, as per the usual, on a Thursday afternoon, the senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Let's take a quick break. That YouTube live chat poll is up and ready for you to join us on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, youtube.com/@AnnieFry, F-R-E-Y. We broadcast live there every day, and it's a great way to stay connected. So go subscribe to the YouTube channel. And in our broadcast today, in the live chat portion, is where we have the YouTube live chat poll. Can the Democratic Party recover in time to make gains in the midterm election? Yes or no? It's important. We need to be paying attention to this. Curious where you land on this issue. Let's get to Wiggins America next. Don't go away.
Are you playing this because of my birthday in September?
I've canceled your birthday.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame. I like my birthday.
Well, I figured you'd want to be 53 forever.
Not funny.
I think it's hilarious. Anyway.
Wiggins!
Oh! Wiggins!
This is a topic that I do feel like is important. Most of the topics I bring up are pretty stupid. This one, important though.
At least you're honest about it.
This is how to talk to your teen, or if you are a teen and you're listening by chance, how to talk
Why
to your
are you
teen
not in
or.
School?
Yeah, what are you doing? Maybe you should go to college. How to help your child decide if college is right for them. These are questions. And
boy, is this a different topic than when we were in school.
It really is. And that's why I actually think this is a very, very important conversation to have, because it was a given that you were going to go to college when you were in the 90s
and 2000s. It wasn't a given, but it was the default.
It was just assumed.
If you didn't
do it. You're
going
to college, right? Where are you going?
Well, I think if it was the natural thing to do, and if you did something else, then that was outside of the normal path. But there are a lot of people who didn't go to college. They did trades or military or whatever. They might have chosen a different path, but it was that was the alternative thing to do. So you went to high school, Collinsville, the pride of Collinsville.
Thank you.
And then you went to where?
I went to SIUE, and then I went to SIUC.
How long did you spend at each?
2 years, 2.5 years.
Why'd you go to SIUC for the last 2.5 years?
I wanted to leave.
Oh.
Well. I wanted to get away for a little bit, and that was the closest far away I could go.
Did you live at home when you were going to Edwardsville?
Yeah.
So I went right out of high school to SIU Edwardsville, and I lived on campus for the first 2 years, and then I got an apartment.
Oh, yeah? So you left, but you didn't leave.
Yeah.
What was that like?
I don't need the world to know, but I didn't grow up far from SIU. You don't need to be specific about it, but
she grew up in the woods outside of SIUE is what she's trying to say.
With the deer,
she
like Snow
deer.
White. So,
like Snow White, yeah. That's very nice. I picture you more like a caveman.
I wish, you're so rude. What about you, Ethan? You are how old? 24? 24. You graduated from Civic Memorial, the pride of Civic Memorial.
Bethalto.
Yes.
Go Eagles.
Yeah. Just kidding. Kind of.
I got no beef with you.
Hey, we beat Metro and everything growing up, so you
good.
Know, there's no beef here in my opinion. You know, it's all on any side.
Yeah. I wasn't even factoring Metro East Lutheran High School, which is where I graduated from. I was thinking more Edwardsville.
Oh yeah, if it's Edwardsville, then we got nothing. We got nothing on you guys.
Yeah, we're,
no beef. All pork, like Washington, huh? Oh man, politics.
Did you go straight to college?
Yes, I did 2 years at Lewis and Clark, and then I transferred to Lindenwood.
Brad, you're Freeburg?
Yeah,
Freeburg. Midget?
Mighty Midget.
Really?
Get it right, Annie.
Who were the Mighty Midgets?
Is it still the Mighty Midgets, or is it just the Midgets
they're,
now?
They're fighting over it now.
Yeah, mightily.
But
amongst themselves or with outside groups?
There's like a bill being introduced.
I would call it a small fight.
Yeah.
Wait, who's introducing?
A little dust up.
Who's introducing the bill?
A little tussle.
The state of Illinois?
No, it's a whole thing.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah, and it shows up about every 5 to 7 years.
And it just goes away?
And Freeburg's like, we're not doing that.
Come and get it.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you go straight to college after high school?
No, I had about a 3-year gap, and then I went to college.
And the gap was because?
I didn't know what I wanted to do.
So you decided not to spend tens of thousands of dollars on
exactly
wandering.
I hit some. I did some junior college auto body classes.
Yeah.
But I never went for anything more than that because that was just something I was interested in. And then I went into MoBap to finish my degree.
That's probably saved you some money along the way. All right. So
MoBap after Yo Gap. He took a gap. He had a gap.
Don't explain it.
So these are questions that you can ask your teen as they're getting ready to consider college, whether they should go to college or not. The first one is, of course, asking them about their career goals. At what point do you think a kid should have somewhat defined, even if not specific, career goals?
At what age?
Yeah.
I'm going to not answer your question with this answer. You should have a goal to have a career.
Okay.
But if you are 18 and you don't know what you want to do with your life yet, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Did you know?
I wanted to do one of two things. I wanted to be a sports reporter, sideline reporter, or I wanted to go into psychology and do radio like a was it Dr. Laura?
Oh, like a nighttime talk show?
I didn't want to do it in the nighttime. I wanted to do it like middays. So I wanted to do TV or radio, and I wanted to do sports or psychology. So I went to SIUE, got a bachelor's in mass communication, and my understudy was psychology.
So you're pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean, you ended up pretty close to the target.
Yeah. It's rare. I can tell you that of the people who I went to mass communications school with that are in communications right now.
Oh, yeah.
I can think of maybe one.
Yeah.
Maybe one. And the person who is that person has a separate business, and he has turned his financial business into kind of a media thing as well. So his actual job is really financial advising, but the people who are listening right now would know his name if I said it. I just don't know that he wants me to say it, so I'm not gonna.
There's a lot of that in media. People who use media as a passion, but they got to make money doing something else.
Yeah. I mean, what you used to do was just like, oh, I'll just go take your gen eds in your first 2 years and figure it out.
That's what I did.
But maybe you don't have to take gen eds to get a job in your career. Anyway.
Yeah, so that one, and then number two is similar. It's ask them about their passions and their interests. That's to sort of stoke, well, what is it that you're interested in going into? But number three, I think, is very important, and I don't know if this conversation happens often enough, especially with a teenager, but talking about the job market itself.
Yeah.
You know, research the job market that is at least in the realm of the field you think they're going into, and advise. Because if they're going into a field that is just way oversaturated, or like right now, my daughter, she's 10, it's fine. She says this stuff. I'm like, yeah, enjoy. She's like, I want to be a zookeeper. I'm like, I'm not going to tell you right now that the amount of zookeepers in the country is very small.
There are a lot of veterinarians.
But there are a lot of veterinarians. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of thing that you could kind of steer toward that I think isn't a very important conversation to have.
There's actually a shortage of big animal vets like that would go to farms and treat horses.
Because they keep getting eaten. Oh, horses.
Yeah.
Horses. The horses keep eating.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You got to watch out for them horses. Don't turn your back on them.
Brad, are you telling Ryan's daughter to become a horse doctor right now? Is that what we're hearing?
Maybe.
I think he wants my daughter to get eaten by a horse. And I'm not a big fan of that.
I was already stretching, but, you know, that's fine.
Looking at alternative paths, explore alternative paths to your career goals, which would mean, and this is where we're talking about at the beginning, apprenticeships, vocational programs, even online courses that get you closer to that goal, and self-study are becoming increasingly viable options.
You might be able to learn how to do what you need to do on YouTube for free. Maybe.
That's true.
And get to working sooner with significantly less debt. You know, like, I'm thinking that the most sensible thing is, which is usually the most boring, is if you were graduating right now from high school, to go into a trade, get an apprenticeship, and then spend some time taking 6 hours, 9 hours of business classes when you can. And then be making money right away, be paid to learn a trade, because by the time, if you graduate right now, if you finish your apprenticeship, I'm making stuff up, by the time you're 20, would that be doable if you got 2 years into it or whatever, and you're a tradesman? By the time you're 40, the vast majority of people in the trades right now are older, our age or older. It's so hard to find. I hear this all the time from clients that I have or people I'm talking to. It is so hard to find people to do this work. You are going to be in such demand in 20 years.
Oh yeah.
And if you have the business acumen, like the learning that you need to do, and it has to be worth it. You can't be doing it to get a piece of paper. You do not have to go to school to be able to run a business. You have to know how to do it. But if you learn how to do a trade and you want to turn it into a business down the road, heck, you probably can buy somebody's business.
Especially if you have, if you have good work ethic,
yeah,
and you're in trades right now, you are number one with a bullet.
I remember one time,
nothing's going to stop you.
Talking to Corey Malone, this was years ago. This might have been like pre-COVID. He was like, he wanted me to talk about, you know, of course, Air Comfort Service. But he's like, I can't find good work. He goes, I have people who show up to work and then they say, it's too hot. He's like, Annie, I sell air conditioning. That's always stuck with me. And you know, Air Comfort Service has done such wonderful things and has continued to grow year after year because he's really great with his employees and people really want to work with him. But if you are good work, you are going to be fought for to be hired.
Yeah, my brother's in the trades, mid-30s, and he's like fast track to the top because people are like, oh my gosh, you actually have a passion for doing this and you're young. And there's so, like you said, so many people retiring. On that same topic, number seven here was networking and experiences. Did you guys do internships?
Yeah.
I did too.
KFNS, Frank Cusimano.
I did it at a station called UPN 46.
Oh yeah.
That station is gone.
That was like the extra station you could maybe get in on your television.
Yeah.
That kind of sounds like the radio station I used to
work. It was great. Yeah, it was a great place.
It's like it exists in theory.
They let me do everything. Because they're like, yeah, go ahead.
If you adjusted the antenna on your television, Ethan, if you've never heard of this, then you could get in 46, and it was pretty exciting.
What's an antenna?
Mm-hmm.
It's the things that slugs have on them and roaches.
You had to go get them from bugs and lay them on your television to make them work.
On top of the TV.
I'm trying to think of what that would even be on a slug.
They got little antennas.
It would be gross. That's what
those are. Ice stems.
I don't know. Sneak a couple more in here. How about gap year?
Did
you do it on purpose?
No.
No, he just didn't know what you wanted to do.
Gap years. Yeah, I caught a lot of flack for not going to college straight out of high school. But I
didn't know
everybody. Because that's what you did. You got out of college and you went to high school. Or you got out of high school and you went to college. And I didn't do that. My parents are like, you need to figure out something that you're going to do.
Yeah.
So
did it help?
The gap year?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't waste money getting
a degree. Look at him now. What are you talking about?
You kidding me? Did it help?
It's
a one-legged duck swim in circles?
Actually, we should just do
it. Dang it. That was really good.
Ethan.
Why are we playing the music now?
Ethan's reading, like, toilet paper with funny sayings on it right now. What's happening?
What, did you take a gap year or not? Did you?
No! But well, practice,
you have no experience in that.
Great. But look at him. He's
you said it so confidently.
Great.
You just wanted to get that phrase out.
Tyrus and Congressman Mike Boss following that somehow. Next on the Andy Fry Show.